The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Something we talked about a little bit earlier in our afternoon update with Liz Dunphy and with Valerie Cox was this suggestion that the abuse of politicians is getting worse. Not necessarily something new, that they kind of get it in the neck from the public, but that there is a sense that things have really gone up several levels in the last 12 months. We had Michael Healy-Ray famously being pushed around outside the Dáil last year. We had protests outside that same building, outside Leinster House, politicians being hung by a noose. And then we had, people might have seen videos of Angus O'Snoddick, the Sinn Féin TD and others being heckled and intimidated by activists in the wake of the referendum results as well at the weekend. Here to discuss where we are and where all this might be going, Kieran Cunningham, the chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star, and Dan Boyle, Green Party councillor for Cork City South Central. You're both very, very welcome, folks. Kieran, I know this is something that you've been kind of commenting on for quite some time. How worried are you about the kind of the direction of travel?
I'd be very worried because of what's coming up. You know, you have local and European elections coming up, and then you will have a general election in the quite, it's coming down the tracks. It's not going to be that far away. We have a general election. I think it's going to be particularly toxic during the general election, but in the local and European election as well. And it's, to me, this really came to the fore during COVID and lockdown. And a lot of the anti-lockdown protests, the anti-vaccine protests and stuff, that they became quite, a lot of the protesters became quite, they were aggressive online and aggressive in public. No, towards particularly towards the Gardaí and to politicians. And I see a lot of the same faces. Like, you see photographs of people now who are harassing politicians. You see videos of them. You see people are involved in anti-immigration protests in various parts of the country. And I see the same faces all the time. And a lot of the language that politicians would have been used to be, when they were out on the canvas, that there would be times on the doorsteps that they're challenged, and they're challenged pretty forcefully. But I've never seen anything like the venom now that you're seeing in these videos, when all sorts of abuse has been thrown at people. They've been cursed, they've been called every name in the world under the sun. And again, they've been called a traitor to the country. And to me, it does look like, in particular, Sinn Féin have been targeted, because a lot of these guys, a couple of them have said they're going to run for election, particularly in local elections. And I think a lot of these are right-wing groups. They get very up on their up on a high horse if you say they're right-wing. But if you look at their social media feeds, etc., everything they're saying is out of the right-wing playbook. Mm. And they've targeted working-class areas. And the Sinn Féin is a party that has made inroads in working-class areas. So they've tried to paint Sinn Féin as traitors to the working class, who have embraced this globalist ideal. And like, there was a very interesting report last night on Channel 4 News. I don't know if you saw, by an Irish reporter, Padraig O'Brien, who looked into the far-right groups here at protests. And he challenged one of the chaps on it, and he said, "You are far-right." And he said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "But I've read what you've written and said, and you're in favour of the great replacement theory, which is the theory that what they call indigenous populations will be replaced by a swarm of black people coming from all corners of the world." Like, it's completely racist. Mm. And this has been promoted by a lot of these people who are supposedly challenging politicians.
And this guy, he was maintaining, no, that his views were kind of what, mainstream, kind of majority views that just weren't being heard.
Yeah, well, this guy in particular, I don't want to even give him a dignifying name.
Yeah, don't name him, yeah.
But he describes himself as a citizen journalist. Oh, like, yeah. What on earth is that? If I have a problem with my car, I don't go to a citizen mechanic. When I'm sick, I don't go to a citizen doctor. I don't get the tax returns done by a citizen accountant. But any idiot with sticks a phone in your face and then aggressively asks you questions says, "I'm a citizen journalist," and they expect a response.
I mentioned Angus O'Snoddick. This is a little clip of him having phones like that stuck in his face. He was out canvassing in Dublin last week.
Is there any need for you to shout at me?
Yeah, because I'm annoyed at you. I'm annoyed at you and your party and what you're doing. What you're doing to the Irish people. No, you don't give a f*** about the Irish people. Get your hand down my face or I'll knock you out.
Will you?
Yeah, I will knock you out, you little fool. Who do you think you are? They want me to hit you because they're a little rat bag. That's what they're.
Excuse me.
Your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. Take a look at the sellout.
Back away.
Put your hands on my back again. I'm back in it. That's what I said, you little rat. Get off the road, this scumbag. Smelly rat is what you are. What are you going to do about the Irish homeless?
All right. It's a fairly kind of tangible sense of some of the stuff you were talking about there. Dan Boyle is with us as well. I mentioned the Green Party councillor in Cork. Dan, have you had your own confrontations with these so-called citizen journalists, as Kieran describes them?
Good afternoon, Kieran. Well, I had one last week, as it happens, at the Con Centre at NEMA Rangers in Cork. But it was a secondary confrontation because, first, the citizen journalists in question would have gone for a friend and colleague of mine, Honoré Clement Egney, who was originally from Cameroon and is a local election candidate. But he subjected him to about 5 minutes of walking by him with the smartphone. And then I got about 2 minutes afterwards, which I didn't respond to at all. And I've no doubt why he picked on my friend and colleague first and with more intensity. It's a problem of tone. It's a problem of people using anger as a default mechanism. And it devalues the ability and the need for people who are rightly angry and frustrated to express it in proper context, in proper situations. One of the roles of a public representative is an ombudsperson to make sure the public services are being delivered properly and effectively. And often they're not. And people who find themselves in situations where their rights and entitlements aren't being received have an entitlement to be frustrated and to be angry. But most of what we're seeing now, this new type of behavior is being conducted by people who aren't suffering from that, that they're using the possibility of people not having services being achieved by creating these mythological situations very often to justify their own anger, which, as I say, is the only tone they use in public discourse.
Was it intimidating at the time it was happening?
It was discomforting in a sense because it wasn't new or novel. You'd seen it done for other people. There wasn't other people around. I think if it was a mob situation or maybe half a dozen people around the person with the smartphone, it might have been a bit different. But this was one person doing what they've been doing for 12 months or so.
This is in a Con Centre. So there would have been Gardaí around, was there?
It was the outskirts of the Con Centre. My colleague was followed out from the steps of the Con Centre and then around the building. And I was trying to, I suppose, retrieve him from the situation, and then I became subject to a walkabout as well.
Did the Gardaí intervene, or was there a possibility that they might have? Were they there?
I did, and on the course of the walk, I did come across one guard who was policing the count, and he asked whether things were all right, and I said I was engaging with the man, but I was upset with the intimidation that my colleague was experiencing, and the person who was doing the citizen journalism more or less sneered and said, being a journalist, Garda, and that was the extent of the interaction.
And that was it. I just wonder, Kieran Cunningham, I mean, whether, and I don't think any of you should pretend it's an easy one for the Gardaí, but whether there is, or we've come to a point in time where there needs to be slightly more interventionist role, you know, and maybe it's kind of born of culture and history and the Gardaí seeing themselves as, you know, keepers of the peace rather than enforcers of the law and all of that, things that we're proud of in this country. At the same time, I mean, what you're seeing here actually is against the law, arguably. I mean, it's an assault. You don't have to physically hit someone to commit an assault.
No,
just put them in fear of it.
And we do know where this can end. Like 8 years ago, Joe Cox, a Labour Party MP, was murdered in the UK. And she was killed by a guy who'd been spouting white supremacist and racist stuff online. And she was seen as being friendly to migrants and friendly to the Muslim community. So who knows whether it only takes one person to be pushed over the edge for something really serious to happen. Now, you do notice a distinction. Mary Lou McDonald got a fair bit of abuse at Dublin Castle on Saturday, Michael Healy-Ray before. But I thought it went up several notches with Angus O'Snody. And that's because I think of the circumstances and the location that Dublin Castle and the Dáil, like the politicians were getting abused, but they would have still felt more secure.
Yeah.
You're out canvassing just in a housing estate and you've hardly told, you know, there's not going to be Gardaí around, you know, and you're suddenly targeted by people. And people just heard the recording there. Like it was not, and nobody could say that's acceptable way to approach somebody. But I have great fears that this is going to get worse. And one of the things is because a lot of this has come from an American playbook in that targeting certain politicians and targeting the media and mistrust everything in what they call the mainstream media, but swallow everything that's pumped online by the supposed real journalists or the citizen journalists that they call themselves. But we've only got now into the advent of AI. And by the next election, that software has improved so much. I've seen videos now that are really convincing. It would be very easy, for example, down the line to have a video of, say, Dan Boyle kicking somebody on the ground and say, this is the guy that's running for election. It would be completely fake video, but this is possible. And this is going to happen because these people are not worried about the truth. You know, we keep hearing this thing about a post-truth world. Mm. But everything, you go through what they're saying, it's not about truth. It's about spinning very malicious untruths. And it's about targeting certain people. And I think the hands-off approach isn't worth. Like, I know the hate speech debate is a bigger debate. But there surely must be some way that some of these people who crop up again and again can be spoken to by Gardaí when they're using that kind of language, when they're filming people without their consent, etc. To me, that is harassment.
Dan, I mean, short of that kind of dystopian vista, which isn't kind of suggested, it wouldn't come to pass. I mean, the other consequence of all of this, I assume, is that it makes people far less likely to want to get involved in politics. Particularly younger people, young women. And like, why in God's green earth would you put yourself forward and have to march around kind of housing estates canvassing if this is the level of abuse you're likely to get? There's also a likely disconnect gets created, doesn't it, between kind of one of the great things about our politicians is how accessible they are. But that can't last for long if this is what's happening.
It's one of the stronger features of Irish politics that face-to-face contact exists. It doesn't exist in most political systems in the world. There has been acceptable standards of banter and even lines about the level of criticisms that are expected and justified in many respects, because people have to account for whether they're good representatives or not. But you're right, it's already had an effect. I think all political parties have had a difficulty in sourcing candidates for the upcoming elections. And amongst the reasons are that people don't want to subject themselves to potential abuse or further dangers. But going back on what Kieran was saying there, we've had this developing situation with campaigns against library workers and people working in chemists in Cork in particular. The Gardaí have initially taken a hands-off approach, and I think they were justified initially to do that because it gives people credence, it gives them the potential of being turned into martyrs. But now there's almost an acceptance that this behavior is expected and to certain people acceptable. And I think we have to rethink a lot of things about the type of engagement that happens, because it's coarsening everything and it's devaluing the many good things about what should be about public service, public life in Ireland, and the way that the general public have that access and the ability to decide who, when and how in what should be one of the stronger democracies in the world.
Yeah, one would have suspected that a conversation on the radio, a kind of condemning, screaming abuse into people's faces would be relatively non-controversial. But one listener says, people are frustrated. I'm not agreeing with violence, but no one is listening to the voting public. Somebody else says, this is about controlling and silencing anyone who doesn't agree with the media agenda. And come on, just because people are calling the government traitors doesn't make them right wing. The people are so frustrated with the government, etc., etc. Anyway, dispiriting stuff. 087-1400-106. Kieran Cunningham, chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star. Dan Boyle, Green Party councillor in Cork. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining me.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.